In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. It is the 2nd of August. I have a sweater on, and Charlie's drinking hot cocoa because we're freezing to death in the studio today. Not because it's cold outside. It's 86 degrees, but Charlie's rubbing his hands together in there. He's trying to get warm. I am, too. Anyways, brr. Well, when it becomes wintertime, Charlie, maybe it will actually warm up in here. We'll see. Anyways, you guys don't care about that, I know, but we do. And some of you out there listening probably are in, if you're back in office settings, probably encounter the same thing because everybody wants a different setting inside. I get it. Some like it colder, some like it warmer. The impossible question on Friday, which I never did tell you guys the answer to, is what was the phrase that parents claim to say the most to their kids? The answer is, hurry up. Yeah, said that one a lot. Hurry up, let's go, come on. Today's impossible question. Answer this on the RushToReason.com website. 27% of workers say they would give this up for a 2 weeks extra vacation a year. What is it? So 27% of workers say they would give this up for a year for 2 weeks of extra vacation. What is it? Here's your options. Ice cream, their favorite TV series, social media, or watching sports. By the way, all, in some cases, tough ones to give up. Not for me. Ice cream, easy to give up for a year. Favorite TV series, you can always come back and watch it later down the road, and that's not a big deal. So for me, kind of narrow it down, it's going to be either social media or watching sports, which I think both of those, for some folks, are very difficult to give up. Actually, for me personally, there's nothing on that list I wouldn't have any issues giving up. But some would. And again, keep in mind the fraction, the 27% of workers. This isn't all workers. This is a roughly quarter of workers say they would give this up. So answer this on the RushToReason.com website. Charlie, any thoughts on those four? So Charlie says ice cream. I think for some that is tough to give up. Some, that's almost a regular, like, not maybe nightly thing, Charlie, but for some, it's pretty close to it. Yeah, and it's 27%, Charlie just reminded me of. So there you go. Answer that again on the RushToReason.com website. And by the way, if you missed a show or anything along those lines, I always want to remind everybody you can find those there. You can go back, find the podcast and so on. Ann does a great job of updating those things, keeping the website up to date and so on. So this is something that I read today. It was an email that came to me, and I am a subscriber to a lot of different news sources, left and right, by the way. It's not all just conservative, for those of you that are listening. I get information from a lot of different sources, but I want to read something to you that came to my email today, and this is from the Colorado Sun. Diversifying journalism is something those of us in the industry have struggled with for some time. When newsrooms are too homogenous, there's a risk of unintentional bias filtered into news coverage. Certain topics may not get covered, assigned, or edited because the filter of the news desk may not watch or match the lens of the community. Anyways, this is a big, long article about we need to change the way we have historically filled the journalism pipeline. Young journalists often get their start at college interns who each semester populate newsrooms and churn out stories, photos, videos, social media posts, and so on. And while it's improved over the years, most of them are not Black, Indigenous people of color, or Asian American, Pacific Islander, or LGBTQ plus communities. So this is an entire article about, or I should say, email to me about how the Colorado Sun held virtual classrooms with 15 students participating in our free Rise and Shine journalism workshop. Now, what I'm going to say real quick is hats off to the Colorado Sun for doing this. This is how they promote liberal journalism, despite what they said in the beginning of the email about making sure it's very cross-based and everything gets into the pipeline and so on. No. This is how you raise young people into doing what you want them to do in the liberal end of things. And only all I could think of, Charlie, and John on the line, I'll get to you in just one second, but all I can think of is, why aren't we as conservatives doing the same thing? Where's our Rise and Shine journalism workshop for the conservatives out there? And for the conservative students, if there are any. Just made me think, you know, one side does a really good job of, if in a way, this is a recruiting project by the Colorado Sun. Where are we in all of this? Why are we not doing the same? And if we are, why don't I get any of the same types of emails on that to know that we're doing that? Because reason being, folks, is we're not doing that. John and Cheyenne, what's going on?
Hey, John, you know, I drove to Utah to get my grandkids home over the weekend. Who is the moron that designed I-70 through the Glenwood Canyon without taking into consideration that there could be fires and mudslides?
Were you around Colorado back in the day when they were designing all of that, John? Probably not.
No, I was not.
Well, the roundabout answer is, I don't know that I can fully pinpoint it, but that canyon and the way that is designed was a result of tons and tons and tons, and probably some of the first successful activism by the left and what was done in that canyon to actually make the road, you know, get the road widened. So prior to that, it was just a two-lane road. I-70 became two lanes all the way through Glenwood Canyon.
Right.
It took years and years and years, John, of litigation and design work and so on to finally get both sides to agree upon how that would be done and handled. So to answer your question, I'm not sure anybody thought that, because really the main thought was, how do we make this so it is less impactful to, you know, the environment, to, you know, wildlife, so on and so forth, you know, much of which we already know there's not a lot of wildlife that live on the side of a straight wall, John, other than maybe mountain goats, and they're still there. So the reality is,
yep,
a lot of that went into, you know, a lot of that came into play because of the environmental movement of the time. And that was really, I think, you know, really back in the late, I got to go back and look in time as to when that was started to be developed, but I think it's the late 70s, early 80s. It didn't get completed until the early 90s.
Well, if you think about it, how could you design a road in this climate? Now, every year, we either get a fire or we get heavy rains, which cause mudslides after fire. It's been happening since I've lived out here, like 19
yes.
years. You read about it. How do you design a road on the side of the cliff without a way for the mud to not run across the road?
A great question. So I was pretty close on my timeline, by the way, John. That it's 12 miles. It cost roughly $500 million back in the day. Construction began in 1980 and finished in 1992. So my timeline was pretty close.
Yeah, but I wonder how much of that $500 million went to settle lawsuits.
You know, good question. That was, by the way, that really, and I don't think most folks realize this, that maybe haven't lived here for, you know, as long as, you know, I and others have.
You have.
That
you
was the
here.
Final link in getting I-70 to be four lanes from end to end. That was the missing link for all that time.
Oh, okay. So I had to take 80.
Yes.
And which was fine, except Wyoming, they've got about 70 miles of the 300-plus miles of I-80, where it's one lane each way because they're rebuilding the other side of the road, which they can only do in the summertime. You know that, too.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get it done. So between that and all the extra traffics and trucks, there were sometimes I saw it going actually eastbound. There was a 20-mile backup where it was bumper to bumper.
20 miles? Really?
20 miles. And then, of course, I have come to the conclusion, not changing the subject really, that Amazon tractor trailer drivers are now worse than the FedEx guys. They do not know. And there was one laying on his side, blocking one of the lanes going westbound, where it looks like he was going too fast to handle the downhill and the curve, where they've got the speed limit set at 65 because it's a pretty nasty curve coming down out of the mountains right at the Laramie. He was going way too fast. He lost control, took it across the highway, and laid that
John, I've seen, you know, and again, I not to change subjects either, but when it comes to the trucking end of things, I was telling Charlie and Larry and the guys on my way down to Drive Radio on Saturday that the gravel trucks running down I-70, so east as they were getting onto I-76, so they come out of the, you know, golden area on east into I-76. Sure. I am not exaggerating, John. They were running 80 to 85 miles an hour down I-70. And I don't care what anybody out there says. I don't care how long you've been a truck driver. 85 miles an hour in a gravel truck, I don't care if it's loaded or empty, is too fast, John.
Where's the state police?
Great question.
You know, one of the great things is you talk about a lot is like the Wheat Ridge police and the Morrison police are always out there. Where are they getting these gravel truck drivers?
I never see any of them pulled over. And the only time I see them pulled over is after they've had an accident.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the other thing. I used to have a CDL. If you got a CDL, your rules are a lot stricter than if you just got a regular license and you get a couple of speeding tickets. You can lose your CDL pretty quick.
I know.
But where are the police to, you know, they want to write a ticket. There's a couple of tickets to write. We see it here in Cheyenne. Between Cheyenne and where I live, there's a gravel pit. And going into Cheyenne, they're always going slow because they're full. But heading back to the empty, they're doing 85, 90 sometimes.
I know.
The state police is never out there.
I don't know whether there's some unwritten rule that, John, we don't know about that just give those guys, you know, a pass. You know, I don't get it. I don't know. Back to the Glenwood Canyon thing, though, really quick, because this is a great, by the way, it's a great story, and I'm glad you brought that up. I was talking to my uncle as well. He came from Utah, you know, appraising some cars and stuff over the weekend, and so he had to drive around all of that as well, other than he came back down through the, you know, Rifle Craig Steamboat, came back, you know, that direction, which is, you know, a long drive out of the way. But they did have to move one point. Let's see. They moved. The Glenwood Canyon Project required 30 million points of structural steel, 30 million pounds of reinforcing steel, 400,000 cubic yards of concrete weighing 1.62 billion pounds.
And it still closed a lot.
Right. Well, and the problem that happened, you know, and again, I can still remember the question, or, you know, all of the things that were going back and forth back then with the environmental movement and so on. Because originally, John, they were just going to blast the sidewalls, do like they've done to the rest of I-70, widen it, you know, put the, you know, structural reinforcement they needed to on the sidewalls for what you and I are talking about, and away we go. But no, that wasn't going to work for the environmental movement guys. You know, they wanted that, you know, tiered look that's there now. They wanted less impact, so they raised the road in many places. I mean, they did a lot of things that made that a pretty, you know, engineering marvel back in the day. But the problem is, to your point, nobody thought about what would happen in our heavy fire / you know, mudslide prone areas, and you can see now what the result of that is.
Well, we have the same thing in Wyoming, I-80 between Laramie and Elk Mountain. The engineers that designed that decided they were going to save 9 miles. The original U.S. 30 and the UP main line and the wagon train all followed the same route. I mean, that's how they did it.
Okay.
The wagon trains went through, then the main line of the railroad went through in the 1870s. Then they put the first, you know, U.S. 30, which was the Lincoln Highway. Well, they decided to save 9 miles. It is now the most closed section of I-80 because of weather across the whole state of Wyoming.
Wow.
Because they put it almost right up against the mountains. So the wind comes up, the wind comes off the mountains, blows the snow. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, they had that bad accident where like 6 people died.
Yes, I remember that.
Ground blizzard condition.
Yes.
That's that stretch, because all the old timers, when they designed it, said, you're making a mistake. You don't want to put a road through there. And the engineers, which were from back east, as they said, no, we're going to save 9 miles of road and we're going to save millions of dollars. Well, it turns around and it costs them. And the state does. US 30 still runs the old route, but they can't handle the traffic. So if they shut down 80, they shut 30 down too, except for local traffic, to keep the tractor trailers off of
it. I see.
So it's insane, John. Government at its finest.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the only
yeah.
thing I could say.
Yep, no, good stuff. John, I appreciate that. Great phone call. Have a safe week. And Charlie and I were talking before we came on air today, too, that it's funny how, you know, the powers that be are never the ones that have to live with the decisions that they typically make as policymakers. And by the way, that happens in business. It happens in government. It happens all the time. The folks making the decision are really the folks that end up reaping the repercussions of said decision. Golden Eagle Financial is up next. I was reading something, too. In fact, I actually got an inquiry on this and may do an interview along these lines. But as prices rise, more than half of Americans would consider working part-time to supplement their retirement income. That's according to the latest findings from the Indexed Annuity Leadership Council, the IALC. Now, if that's you, then you probably didn't prepare properly for retirement, and now you're having to figure out how to supplement some of that retirement income. Where I'm going with this is talk to Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial. I met with Al on Friday for lunch, and one of the things that even folks my age, or especially folks my age, should be considering is, where are you going to be when you get there? How are you going to get there? And then how do you stay there? The last thing you want to do is get to retirement, be doing what you enjoy, whether that's, you know, working for a nonprofit, spending time with friends and family, you know, having a couple of different homes where you go back and forth, whatever the case may be. The last thing you want to do is then have to look at inflation like we are right now and then saying, oh boy, I'm not going to be able to make this on what I set aside originally. I'm going to have to go back to work. This is where Al comes in. Find out exactly where you need to be, how much you need to do, and how you make all of that happen. That's what he does. 303-744-1128. Find him at klzradio.com.
You need to talk to Al Smith now before you hit the age of required minimum distributions, because you could pay no taxes on that income. As long as you know what to do. You don't want to be in a situation where you get surprised by required minimum distributions. Suddenly you're forced to withdraw a portion of your IRA, and now you have a hefty tax bill to pay on that new income. Al Smith will show you how to make a qualified charitable distribution so you can pass that money along to a good cause instead of paying a big chunk of it in taxes. Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a tax-efficient retirement, so you can choose where your money goes, instead of letting the government decide. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Barber's Foods is next. As I say all the time, they can ship product, food, meat, anywhere in the country, but they have to do it today or tomorrow, especially in the summertime, or otherwise it'll spoil once it gets there, because whoever's there needs to get it prior to the weekend, because you can't let it sit through the weekend on a delivery truck. So they can do all of that. They can make it happen. I just shipped some meat out last week, and folks got it on Thursday. So you know what? It's very doable, and they can do that. If there's something that you want that's not on the website, they can typically get that for you. In the meantime, just go to the website, check it out. It's Barbers with an S, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods proudly sells what they feel is the best bratwurst in the nation. Their bratwurst comes from Tim Beeler's fourth generation pig farm in Iowa, where Tim grows non-GMO fed Duroc pork, raised without using gestation, crates, or antibiotics. Check out the 5-ounce French cut loin chops, natural hot dogs, baby back ribs, breakfast sausage links, and garlic pepper bacon at barbersfoods.com. If you're looking for great beef, Barber's Foods carries grain-fed Colorado Angus beef in steaks and burgers, and an assortment of Wagyu steaks from Dan Morgan's Wagyu Ranch. These all-natural, restaurant-quality steaks are some of the best you'll ever eat. You can pick up your order at the Denver Warehouse near the National Western Center, or Barber's Foods can drop them off to any Denver metro area address. Go to barbersfoods.com and thank you for supporting the Colorado native farm family that owns Barber's Foods.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
If you choose to be unvaccinated and you are willing to roll the dice, which incidentally happens to be an American virtue, it seems to me that if you're going to roll the dice and if you could get sick and die by being unvaccinated, that's on you.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right. By the way, John from Cheyenne, thanks for getting me sidetracked on the Glenwood Canyon stuff. But I was telling Charlie, I can remember back when I've got some stuff here I'll read in a moment. But I can remember back when that project was supposed to get underway that I, and again, folks, please, if somebody knows more about this than I do, let me know. But I can remember protesters and environmentalists actually blocking the highway numerous times to where construction could not start. And I believe that was the Glenwood Canyon project. If some of you have any better information on that, please let me know. Send me an email, whatever, call us. But I've got a little blurb from Wikipedia, not that it's the expert, but I think they do a pretty decent job of describing this one. With the Eisenhower Tunnel finished, the last remaining obstacle for I-70 to be an interstate commercial artery was the two-lane non-freeway portion in Glenwood Canyon. Construction had started in this section in the 1960s with a small section opening traffic in 1966. The remainder was stopped due to environmental protests that caused a 30-year controversy. So, yes, folks, like I told John, that was a long, drawn-out ordeal, 30 years. The original design was criticized as the epitome of environmental insensitivity. Engineers scrapped the original plans and started work on a new design that would minimize additional environmental impacts. A new design was underway by 1971, which was approved in 1975. However, environmental groups filed lawsuits to stop construction, and the controversy continued even when construction finally resumed in 1981. The final design included 40 bridges and viaducts, 3 additional tunnel bores, 2 were completed before construction was stopped in the 60s, and 15 miles of retaining walls for a stretch of freeway 12 miles long. The project was further complicated by the need to build the 4-lane freeway without disturbing the operations of the railroad. This required using special and coordinating blasting techniques. Engineers designed 2 separate tracks for the highway, one elevated above the other, to minimize the footprint of the canyon. The final design was praised for its environmental sensitivity. A Denver architect who helped design the freeway proclaimed, "Most of the people in western Colorado see it as having preserved the canyon." He further stated, "I think pieces of the highway elevate to the standard of public art. A portion of the project included shoring up banks of the Colorado River to repair damage and remove flow restrictions created in the initial construction of the U.S. 6 highway in the 1930s. So there you have it, folks. That gives you a little more history there, John and Cheyenne as well. Dennis, what's going on?
Hey, John. A lot of people don't know it, but that was the last stretch of I-70 that was 2 lanes.
Correct.
And the entire reason that it went to 2 lanes each way is because that was mandated by the Department of Defense because of our nuclear program.
So we could move missiles around, right?
And nuclear waste.
Correct.
Headed to Utah.
Correct.
So that might have been part of the left, arguing against a 2-lane I-70 in each direction through Glenwood, because that was almost impossible to do.
It was. I mean, and it is an engineering feat if you look at it, although to John's point, I'm not sure that the engineers really thought far enough down the road when it came to rock slides, mudslides, erosion, fire, things along those lines. And again, the original design, they were just, to my knowledge, I have to go back and look at the actual plans, Dennis, but I believe the original plan was they were just going to blast it, widen it, do like they did with the rest of I-70 and call it good. And then the environmentalists, as I read a moment ago, just went, they were in an uproar. It was a 30-year battle once they got involved to get that thing to 4 lanes.
Well, in hindsight's crystal clear, but yes, they probably should have done more elevation to at least one of those directions.
Again, it is a pretty modern marvel when you look at how they built it and they incorporated it into the canyon itself and so on. And it is. It's one of the most beautiful highway stretches probably, Dennis, anywhere in the country, if not world, if you really want to get down to it. Problem is, we, and John's got a great point, we struggle with that particular canyon every single year when it comes to things like this. You'd think at some point they'd figure out a way to minimize that. if that's even possible. In my own opinion, too, the other thing they should have done, this is just my own opinion, Dennis, they should have bored through part of the mountain and just put a tunnel through that section. I think it was all said and done cost-wise. I'm not sure it would have made a whole lot of difference, and or cost-wise, they could have just minimized it and tunneled through it, but maybe there were things I don't know that wouldn't have allowed that to happen either. I don't know.
Well, and I don't see them having a lot of alternatives. If they were to ever redesign that, it would be a total closure in both directions, and everyone would have to go around through the entirety of the project. Because there's no room to work.
No, there is no. And that was part of the problem they had in that whole construction, sides of things, if you would, Dennis, was, there were times that thing was down to one lane and, it'd back up traffic for miles and miles and miles. It was an absolute disaster back then when they were building that, as you know.
Yes, absolutely.
So, it was definitely how do you want to say it? It was a balance that they had to make between, and even the folks that were in charge of all that back in the day. I get it. I remember that. They had to balance out between, folks that wanted a four-lane road, between those that didn't want the environment disturbed, to what's functional, also had constraints on the budget side of the fence. And keep in mind, back then, $500 million was a lot of money to spend on 15 miles of roads. So, it was a lot. And here's the other interesting thing with all of that, Dennis, is with all of that being done now, it still isn't enough to carry the amount of traffic that rolls through there. And then especially as you get all the way up to Eisenhower, it's not enough either. So, as usual, we're always a day late and a dollar short here in Colorado when it comes to planning.
Always, always, always playing catch up.
Yep, we always are. So I don't know if that'll ever change. Dennis, that's great. I appreciate the comments as well, as always. So, John, thanks for that. I appreciate it. That wasn't what was in my notes for today, but I enjoy talking about that stuff. It gives some history of what went on here in Colorado back in the day. And again, those were days I really can remember watching, reading the news and so on, those different protests and things that were going on. And the reason for that is because us as Coloradans, we really wanted to see that four-lane highway completed, because anytime you went west out of here and you got to Glenwood, not Glenwood, you got on the other side of Vail, basically, it was a slow go all the way into Glenwood, if you were going to go over that direction at all. So if you're headed to Moab or just going anywhere west on I-70 and you got past the Vail area, it was a slow go. So if you were, a guy that hunted, fished, traveled, anything along those lines, it was just a pain in the neck to go anywhere. So we as Coloradans couldn't wait for that to get opened up to four lanes. And yet every time they went to get construction going, the environmentalists, stopped it. Because, again, these are typically folks that are, not in my backyard types, the NIMBYs. So anyways, we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. American National Insurance is up next. Speaking of driving, insurance, things along those lines. And again, those folks that were caught in those mudslides and things over this past weekend, you better make sure you've got good insurance to cover all of those things, because chances are that if you're not covered properly, you're going to be flipping the bill for some of the things that happened. Water damage, rock slides, rock damage, all those different things. Make sure you're covered correctly in case those things happen. And that includes, by the way, making sure that as that vehicle's getting repaired, you got the right rental insurance and so on to take care of things fully. That's where Paul comes into play, my agent. Make sure that he's got you covered. Make sure he's your agent as well. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket, so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Michael Bailey gives you a measure of control in the face of an unknown future. KLZ's mobile estate planner considers you the only expert on your life, so he will ensure everyone carries out your wishes alone. Instead of exposing your assets to the whims of legislators or family members, your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law gives you the final say. You can't predict the future, but you can decide who controls your assets. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
Lisa Linder wants you to have access to even more money. Because home values have increased, Lisa has already contacted all of her clients who took out reverse mortgages last year to talk about refinancing. The first time around, Lisa helped them eliminate their principal and interest payments, immediately freeing up hundreds of dollars every month. They still own their homes, so they still pay property taxes and homeowners insurance, live in the homes, and keep up with basic maintenance. But thanks to their reverse mortgages, they no longer make monthly mortgage payments. Lisa doesn't stop there. By refinancing their reverse mortgages a year later, those same clients may now open up growing lines of credit for the future. Unlike a traditional HELOC, a reverse mortgage line of credit continues to grow no matter what happens to the housing market, guaranteed. Unlock a new source of tax-free income to use however you wish. Go to klzradio.com/mortgage. Lisa Linder Goodson, NMLS 410023, Linder Mortgage, NMLS 1864178.
Is it really possible to test for variants of the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus? Kim Munson here. Tuesday, Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, founder of IPAC, the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, will talk about the Delta variant, vaccinated positive test results, and his new project, IPAC.edu. Entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, Susan Kojivar, shares her perspective on current events, and new show sponsor Kimberly Bell notes the special events at Kanjani Coffee. All this Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we're back. We'll get Jarrett Stepman on with us here in just one moment. Before that, though, Dean Littleton called in with a comment. Dean, welcome.
How's it going today, buddy?
Good, sir. How are you?
Hey, I grew up in Colorado. When I was in high school, I remember skiing at Loveland Basin, looking over the edge, watching the trucks come out of the Eisenhower Tunnel as they were building it.
Awesome.
But, and I've thought about this for a long time. There's basically three cuts from the east slope to the western slope. There needs to be another one.
You agree.
It needs to go roughly from somewhere in the Longmont Boulder area over the hill to Granby on all the way around to Grand Junction.
I agree.
Solve this I-70 issue once and for all. And,
you're right.
And it's, I don't know if we can get the environmentalists, the liberals to go off, but that's, there is no option of widening or increasing I-70. That's
any Add way. Another one. I, you know what? I like your idea. I don't know that it's ever going to happen any sooner than the other, but it's a great idea.
And rail, you know, they've talked about rail. Well, that just limits people access and
that's
availability.
Right.
And 10 years ago, that was $100,000 a yard.
Right.
To build one of those. So that's ridiculous.
I agree. Dean, great comments. I appreciate that very much. Thank you guys all on that, by the way. Jarrett Stepman joining us, Daily Signal and Heritage. We're going to talk about right now, Jarrett, as we speak, the revival of mask mandates all over the country. Give us your thoughts and what's it like on the East Coast.
Yeah, it sure is. It started off with the CDC, I believe it was last Tuesday, revising their recommendations once again, bringing back the indoor mask mandate, saying essentially that because of the rise of the Delta variant, that they recommend going back to the indoor, basically spaces. They recommend states and localities re-implement this policy. So what we've seen, I think a lot of different policies from states. That Washington, D.C. is a full-on mask mandate back in effect. It just went back in effect this weekend. I thought it was quite rich. We actually had the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, who implemented this policy just afterward, went to a giant indoor wedding, which she officiated with no mask on. There's some pictures now online, was reported by the Washington Examiner. So I think you definitely see some hypocrisy from officials who've been voicing this, on the American people.
And along those lines, I've got a 36-second clip I want to play from one of Biden's top COVID advisors. He was on CNN. I want to play this for you as well. Charlie, is my sound up? Here we go.
We know today that many of the face cloth coverings that people wear are not very effective in reducing any of the virus movement in or out, either you're breathing out or you're breathing in. And in fact, if you're in the upper Midwest right now, anybody who's wearing their face cloth covering can tell you they can smell all the smoke that we're still getting. We need to talk about better masking. We need to talk about N95 respirators, which would do a lot for both people who are not yet vaccinated or not previously infected, protecting them, as well as keeping others who might become infected, having been vaccinated, from breathing out the virus.
Okay, so Jarrett, basically what we're hearing is from a top COVID advisor to Biden that the masks everybody have been wearing up to this point are frankly, even he said himself, useless. The only way really, and I've said this all along in my program, if you're going to wear a mask at all, it better be one of the high-end N95, N99 masks. The problem there is they do a job of protecting the person wearing it, not necessarily the people that are around you. Bottom line, Jarrett, there isn't anything you're going to do, and we've learned this even through the first round of COVID. There's nothing you're going to do to stop this thing. It's just going to work its way through. It's what it does.
It does, and it's absolutely incredible, especially with the CDC. You want to know why so many Americans don't trust these institutions. We've had so many vacillations since this thing began. The masks, they don't work at all. Well, then you got to wear a mask, and now you back, hey, you have to wear a mask again, or they don't work. And I think Americans hear this, and they hear this back and forth at the same time saying, well, you have to get a vaccine, you have to get a vaccine. Oh, but actually, you're going to have to wear a mask. You hear some of this, so much of this from especially agencies like the CDC, which I think have eroded much or most of their credibility among so many Americans. I think that's created a real problem here because they're trying to go with mixed messages to the American people. They're
yes.
trying to say
yes.
everybody needs to be vaccinated. That'll solve the problem, but it's not being solved because we're back under these mask mandates
right.
once again.
That's
even
right.
though we're seeing, even though we are seeing an uptick in cases, we're certainly not seeing an uptick in the amount of people who are dying from
no.
COVID anywhere near like
no.
what we had before.
That's right.
In fact, some of the rates, the fatality rates, are extremely low, including in places like Washington, D.C., where they re-implemented this mandate. So I think that's the real problem here. What standard are we going to have going forward? If COVID is simply something that is now in the population, are we to expect our local, state, and even federal government to constantly be throwing it back under these mandates? I can only imagine what this is like, especially for those businesses, the restaurants that just opened, being told now, well, now you got to go back and put these policies and throw them on your customers and maybe be forced to start shutting down again if this thing gets worse. I think that's an incredible thing. I don't think that's sustainable. I think there's going to be a lot of difference in how each individual community now
yep.
responds to this.
Agreed.
I think there's going to be a lot of differences in places that are run by very progressive, I think, governments compared to other ones. I think you're going to see huge gaps in how the public deals with this.
I agree, which is just going to now make even a bigger patchwork than what we had the last go around. By the way, everything you just said, fully, fully agree with that. And it is here to stay. I've been saying that. You have too as well. For you know, anytime a virus is released like this one was, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. You know, it's going to be on us just like any other type of a virus, flu, bug, the other things that are out there. And Jarrett, I guess the way that I look at this is you, to your point, back up, the hypocrisy is just huge. You know, this mixed messaging that's going out to the American populace, and they're not that stupid. You know, we can talk about, you know, people that come in from other countries having to have, you know, vaccinations, especially if they're coming by train or plane or whatever. They've got to meet all these different demands when it comes to their, you know, immigration status, if you would. Yet, Jarrett, you know what I'm going to say next, you can come in illegally in the southern border, have COVID itself as you're actually entering the country, and you're still going to get into the country. So, you know, we're sending out such mixed messages. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is not about public health for the last time.
It's about politics. It's why, I think a very fair question, which was asked recently on Fox and Friends, I would say is, why are we allowing essentially this basically unchecked immigration now on the border while so many Americans, especially those who have family, for instance, in Europe, can't go through all the
right.
procedures to go back and forth to visit family. I mean, there's no logical sense that other than this is a political decision that's not being made because it's pro-science. It's made because of political powers that be in various constituencies that they care about and other ones that they simply don't. And I think that that's what's really undermining. That's why it's so obnoxious to hear, you know, the believe in science crap. I think Americans do believe in science. They just believe that what's being called science is actually highly politicized. It's just they're serving one interest or another. It's not done to serve the general good. It's done, for a variety of reasons other than science. And I think that's really, again, it's undermined these institutions that are supposed to be trustworthy, that I think through this thing have shown themselves to be a lot less so.
Do you feel, Jarrett, that between things like, climate change or global warming went to climate change, and who knows where it's now going to end up, because that's another one where the science is definitely very goofy, let's just say it that way. It is not settled. There's all sorts of different, theories and studies, and you can go to both ends of the spectrum, although there's a lot more data to back up the fact that it really isn't warming, and the reality is we as humans aren't contributing near as much as what the environmental movement and the left would say that we are. So, you've got that side, which I believe more and more, the farther down the path we get there, the more and more it's going to be determined that, no, those folks are wrong, just like they've been wrong on the science on COVID and others. The point I'm getting at here is, do you think with as many quote-unquote fails as the left continues to have, scientifically speaking, at what point is their credibility gone? Or do people just keep believing in it because it's the left and they say so? It's sort of like the old parents, when you'd ask them something and they wouldn't give you a direct answer. It was just, it's because I said so answer. That's sort of what we're getting from the left now.
I think there's a lot of people who are simply, they're true believers. They really believe that this is just the right thing. There's nothing that can dissuade them otherwise. I do think that there are a lot of people like that. I think there are a lot of others who see that and have had their minds very much changed by the hypocrisy, by the fact that our policies don't make sense. They don't make logical sense when you step back and look at them from, I think, a serious standpoint. And I think that has undermined so many politicians. It wasn't even just the D.C. mayor that was being a hypocrite just during this last phase. Through this whole thing, we saw hypocrisy
right.
from people in high places who had direct access to policymaking who are not following the rules that the little guy, the average person, would have to follow under severe penalties.
Right.
And I think that undermines the rule at the top. I think it's very common that you see that kind of corruption. But again, it gets to, is this really being done with science in mind, or is this straight politics?
I think with what you just said, the answer is no, it's all politics, because those individuals, you and I both know, Jarrett, sit in on far more briefings, quote unquote, than what you and I ever get coming from the governmental sources. So you got to believe that these folks are listening to those particular meetings. We've already seen that the Dr. Fauci's of the world and the meetings they have in secret, and what comes out of those meetings, and the CYA, if you would, that comes out of those meetings as well. Bottom line, Jarrett, this is not, nor has it ever been, about science. And I would encourage anybody that's out there on the left to show me, scientifically speaking, where this is science. Because, Jarrett, I can show you many, many times over that it is not. This is about control in politics, not about science.
Absolutely. And I think when disasters do take place, and like, for instance, when this group of Democrats fleeing from Texas flew to Washington, D.C. on a chartered plane, a good third of them got sick. They spread this disease to a lot of the people in Congress. Yet Jen Psaki was basically saying, well, that's none of our business, is being handled internally. That was a big story. Most Americans can't travel on a chartered plane without a mask right now. They did so. They got sick. There's a reason to ask questions about what they were doing, who they were meeting with, but that was buried by the news cycle. CNN didn't want to cover that story like it did many others, but it was the other party's play. And I think that, again, it's that kind of stuff where people see that and you see this pattern emerge. Are the media institutions being straight with us about these things? Are the politicians and the powers that be being straight about the science behind what's going to keep us safe? What's the best measures that we can take that not only prevents the spread of disease, but protects small businesses, protects children in schools and how they're going to learn? All these other considerations that have been left by the wayside by again, so many powerful institutions.
I agree. One last question, and I'll let you go. Do you feel like if they start to do any lockdowns, and even Fauci said he didn't see those things coming, and I think that's because the powers that be know that if they institute lockdowns, there may be some minor ones done on a case-by-case basis, community-by-community basis, Jarrett, but I personally don't see them going down that path again, because I think they know it's going to be an all-out mutiny this time if they do.
I don't think Americans are going to accept it. I don't think we're going to see any crazy thing like what's happening in Australia where they're using the military.
Right.
That's not going to happen in this country. Americans are fed up with this. They've dealt with this long enough. They know the drill. I think they're going to try to implement some of these lockdowns, I think a lot of people are simply going to ignore it. I think there are a lot of communities and states that are going to say, not this time. We're not doing it now. We don't believe that this is the correct way. So I do think that's going to be the response. I think Americans, you know, maybe, you know, this is part of American exceptionalism. Americans have seen this. We know how to respond to this. We're not going to accept going back into full-on lockdown like we did a year ago. That's not going to happen again.
And, you know, you bring up Australia, and real quick, I just want to make sure I add for everybody listening, part of the reason, I believe, why they are where they're at right now, Jared, is because they've never allowed the virus to do what we did here, and that is run through the population, build up some of that herd immunity by folks actually getting the virus. They did the opposite and tried to isolate as many people as possible from COVID, and we all know that that's not how this works. You're not going to benefit from doing it that way, and Australia is living proof of that.
They're not, and now they're broaching policies that certainly appear to be authoritarian, certainly, I think, incredibly worrying, and something I think Americans will simply not accept. I think I think we are very different in that matter, and I think we're fortunate that Americans will not accept the kind of policy we have, the military literally implementing lockdowns, hopefully never see anything like that on our shores. I think it's definitely a warning sign for where this stuff has gone. But, as I said, I don't think Americans are ultimately going to accept that. I think that this time will be very different, and those communities are going to reject any inclination to go back into lockdowns and have these mandates put back in place.
You are exactly right. Somebody else messaged in. I'm going to let you go. Listening to your program, why is there not more talk about the science of the treatments, medications that are treating COVID patients successfully? Jarrett, the answer to that is because they go against the mantra of the other message that's out there by the left, that COVID is, you know, this big bad thing that we cannot get around. We have to mask up. We have to lock down. We have to do all these different things. The problem is if we talk about the treatments and how successful they are, it goes against that.
It does, and it goes against what they want to do as far as lockdowns and the power that they can wield through that. I think in the long run, those treatments are necessary. That's how we're going to beat
it. That's right.
It's never going to go away entirely. We have to beat it through that way.
That's right, exactly. Jared, as always, I appreciate it, sir. Talk to you next week. Have a fabulous week.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let's do this. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is next, folks. And they've always got great things going on at Absolute. What I mean by that is whether you're looking to get something done with your air conditioning, your heating system, or your boiler system, you name it, or even the quality of your air, they've got it dialed in. I don't know how else to say it. They just dialed in. They've got a great deal right now on a whole system install. Just call and ask what that deal is. Mention KLZ to get whatever the discount is they've got going on a particular week. Family-owned and operated. They're high on customer satisfaction. They've got 4.9 out of 700 Google reviews. And the bottom line is they're our go-to when it comes to electrical heating and air. That's Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, 720-526-0231, or find them at klzradio.com.
You trust the technician who lets you decide. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will give you at least three options every time. You call an HVAC company because you want qualified advice, not a sales pitch. You don't know enough about air conditioning to fix or install a unit yourself, of course not. So you hire a professional to explain the situation more clearly. Then you decide between good, better, and best based on your budget. A temporary fix will buy you some time, for now. A long-term solution will save you more money in the end. Only you can decide what makes the most sense for you right now. So, the techs at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air promise to stay in their lane. They will always give you at least three alternatives, along with financing options, to make your home more comfortable on your timeline. Schedule an estimate now at absolutefix.com and get only what you ask for.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Novus Autoglass, folks, don't forget to get that free windshield bandage. Just go to klzradio.com, look for Novus, fill it out. We'll send those to you. Every location also has them as well. You find a location by going to rushtoreason.com, look for the Novus link there, click it. And we'll get somebody, or you can find somebody that will come out to you, or you can drop by one of their shops as well. Each one does that a little bit differently. They all work with your insurance company, though, so however that works on your end, deductibles, etc., they'll walk you through the whole process and take care of all of your auto glass needs and chip repair as well. Again, rushtoreason.com, find the Novus link, click on it.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
John Rush will help you make money, but you must be ready to make a serious change. Think about the mindless, mundane activities you do every day as a business owner. You don't think you have enough money to hire an assistant, but you'd only need to increase your customer base by a handful of new clients to make up for the wages you'd pay a new hire. Then you'd actually have the time to come up with some more efficient processes. John's philosophy is simple. Be proactive. Right now, you're always playing catch-up. You never have enough time to strategize about your big-picture business plan because you're stuck in the day-to-day operations of your business. John will help you come up with the systems to make more money, but you need to be willing to listen and follow through. 20% of small businesses go under the first year. By the end of the fifth year, only half of small businesses survive. Make sure you're always one step ahead. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
Hi, this is Al Smith with Golden Eagle Financial. I wanted to let you know about two upcoming events at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue in the Tech Center, August 17th and 19th. That's a Tuesday and Thursday from 11:30 till 1. We'll be talking about how you can achieve a tax-efficient retirement. To confirm a reservation, contact my office at 303-744-1128.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Fast first hour, just about over. I want to recap what Jarrett was talking about in case some of you may have missed that in the news. So in Australia, because their Delta variant and the COVID numbers have risen, and we've talked about that some, Andy and I have from time to time, they have now deployed the military in Sydney to help enforce the lockdown. So they have deployed hundreds of soldiers to Sydney to help enforce a COVID lockdown. A Delta outbreak, which began in June, has produced nearly 3,000 infections and led to 9 deaths. By the way, that's nothing. Australian Defence Force soldiers will undergo training over the weekend before beginning unarmed patrols on Monday. But many have questioned whether the military intervention is necessary, calling it heavy-handed. You think? The lockdown in place at least until August 28th. So they are locking down Sydney until the end of August. It bars people from leaving their home except for essential exercise, shopping, caregiving, and some other limited reasons. Despite 5 weeks of lockdown, infections in the nation's largest city continue to spread. They recorded 170 new cases on Friday. Now, folks, as I said earlier with Jarrett, the problem is because they're not handling this correctly. I am not an epidemiologist, but I've watched enough of COVID and reported on it enough in the past 18 months to tell you that the way they're handling this is backwards of what they need to be doing. And we learned here in the United States of America that those communities that locked down harder and people that stayed home had actually higher infection rates than those of us like Charlie and I that were out and about all through COVID. Those folks locked down had bigger issues than those of us that didn't lock down. So Sydney and Australia, you guys in Australia, you need to take a look at what's going on around the rest of the world, because the way you're doing it, you can already see, is not working. And then sending out, you know, your military to enforce this is even one more knucklehead move. Morons. And yet, those of us that thought you were going to escape the United States for more freedom and head to Australia, no, you're not going to do that. either. At one point, Australia was going to be that bastion of freedom you could all escape to. Think again, folks. This is the last bastion of freedom, like Ronald Reagan said, and we've got to keep it free or there's nowhere else to go, folks. And I mean that sincerely. All right, that's it for hour number one. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. We'll be back for hour two next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.